The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He doing that. All right, wise asses in the text chain texting JGC to 800-990-3776. Gabe has already said we're supposed to hold off on that until tomorrow. But you're funny. The NFL free agency power rankings came out yesterday. And the Packers, this is not a big surprise considering they made some really big moves in free agency, landed pretty high on this list. Chew, I don't know if we told you this or if you heard us talking about it in the production meeting, but if you had to take a stab, I guess I'm gambling.
Who did the Packers sign last week?
Bonnie Holland.
If you had to take a stab at where you think the NFL ranked the Green Bay Packers in the free agency list, where do you think that it was?
Three.
Ooh, three is a good guess. It's not what I saw. I saw the number five. Did you guys see five on the power rankings list?
Yeah, I think this was basically a roundup from the first like couple waves of free agency. So it's like a NFL's whole, not who had the best free agency period power rankings. It was like where the Packers stand right now following free agency.
Because there's another list on NFL.com that is power ranking the free agency 2024. And it has the Green Bay Packers at, well, six, seven, eight. It has them at eight. So they say the Packers were highly aggressive in targeting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, and they still have assets and flexibility to make more moves. Jacobs' contract is essentially a one-year deal. The secondary is an area where I would like to see Green Bay add resources. So anyway, they're in the top 10, depending on which list you look at. Chew, is it fair to say, and again, this is not an apples-to-apples thing. We don't think that what the team does in free agency or how they are graded in free agency is an exact metric for how they will do in the season. But oftentimes, the teams that are aggressive in free agency, I saw this list last week, do end up being some of the top teams at the end of the season. Do you expect the Packers to be a top 10, top 5 team in the NFL when it's all said and done?
Yes. I don't think they win it all this year, even though they'll have a chance, but I still think they're one more year out of experience, filling more holes, getting accustomed to the new defensive scheme. But yes, I think they will be, I think at the start of the season they'll be inside the top 10, and I think at the end of the season they'll be inside the top 10. We won't see that fluctuation we saw this past year.
Yeah, get off to a decent start, 2-1, completely fall off, and then save it at the end, right? So, like, the consistency. I'm with you, Chew, in terms of I think there are going to be just some general growing pains with a new defensive scheme, trying to figure out what the new defensive coordinator wants from you. But at the same time, there should be some turnover at the, you know, in a couple of key positions that maybe helps mitigate that, because you have Xavier McKinney. He would have been playing in a new defense anyway, right? So yeah, you have him coming in, whatever, you know, whoever you decide to pair with him in the defensive backfield. Maybe there's a defensive lineman that you like and you bring him in. I think there are going to be some key new pieces there that maybe help mitigate some of those growing pains in terms of the new defensive coordinator.
Who did they have in front of them in free? I can't believe they're eight. I can't buy that. I mean, I get Atlanta because they made the big splash with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, in that position, like, just
maybe Baltimore because of Derrick Henry, but other than that,
I will give you the NFL.com list. The list that Joshy was referencing where they were number five is in The Athletic, so we can go ahead and compare and contrast the two lists. But the Kansas City Chiefs are number one on the NFL.com list. San Francisco 49ers are number two. Baltimore Ravens are number three. The Lions are number four. Buffalo Bills, number five. Philadelphia Eagles, number six. Houston Texans, number seven. Those are the teams that are ahead of the Packers in the NFL's power rankings post-free agency. The Athletic list, if just again to compare and contrast, it's very similar. They've got the Kansas City Chiefs at number one as well, San Francisco number two, Lions at number three, and then the Texans at number four. So at least you're seeing the same teams on both lists ahead of Green Bay.
Yeah, the Chiefs should be number one in every power rankings from here until they lose in the postseason. I don't care what their record is.
Not San Francisco, though, Gabe, at two. They've lost some pieces.
They have.
They've lost some pieces. They're starting to, their window's closing.
Sure, but they're still going to have a really good roster.
Yeah, but, I mean, Houston? I mean, granted, they had a great season, and Stroud seems to be...
Houston did the exact same thing as the Packers, did they not? Except, other than they won their division. They actually had a better season than the Packers.
Yeah, but
and it looks like they added a lot more as well, from what I'm looking at here.
But I think at towards the end of the season, Green Bay was a better team than Houston. Not to say they're not going to be there, but I would put Green Bay in front of Houston.
So, Chu, you keep going back to this idea of this year they're not going to win it, but they are. The window is open, and you think, as you have said on this show, that it's not a matter of what if, it's how many Super Bowls that Jordan Love is going to lead the Green Bay Packers to. Is there a part of you that thinks they could do it this year? Is there a part of you that thinks that just like last year when they overperformed, what we thought they were going to be able to do, they could take an even bigger step this year and find themselves in that NFC Championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't bet on them this year, but I think they win one in this next three. I think they win one in this next three, and before Jordan's out of here, he'll win another one. I really do. I mean, the stars are aligned. All he has to do, he doesn't even have to have the draft he had last year. If he has half that, I mean, they're in a great place. They got money. They got draft picks. They got guys who can play. But like I said, there will be a transition period in the defense. And the two things that concern me are this, Jen. Offensive line. Okay? He's got to hit the picks because they have a depth problem and they have to stay healthy. If two of those things do not happen, they don't stay healthy, and he doesn't hit the picks, that can spell disaster for a team. And I think I said it yesterday. A linebacking core isn't going to totally disrupt a season. The offensive line can. So that's a concern. And then my other concern is, was it the players on defense last year, or was it Joe Barry? And we're going to find that out very early, because if it was the players, then that's going to push things back a little bit. I don't think it was. I think it might have been a little combination of the two, and that's why I wouldn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl this year, because, like I said, there will be a transition period. But if it was the players and not Joe Barry, then that's a concern. It's not a big concern, but it's a concern.
Which brings me back to a conversation that we were having a few days ago, where we were trying to figure out if the Packers were all in on this season. And Gabe and I had some offline conversations about all in, and we were talking about, like, first of all, it's sort of a nebulous term. There was an article in The Ringer last year, I believe it was the 2022 season, actually, if I'm remembering correctly, where they were trying to gauge how all in each team in the NFL was. And Gabe, what do you remember about the metric that they were trying to use to determine whether or not a team was all in?
So it wasn't even about salary cap. It was about money that was spent and then how many of your picks that you had. So if you have, a bunch of picks, you're not necessarily all in, because one of the signs for them of being all in is trading those picks, much like the Rams did to get players, much like the 49ers did to get, players to add to your roster now. And I just don't think the Packers, based on that metric alone, like, the Packers are never going to be kind of considered all in, because I don't see them trading a first or second round pick for a player that's going to help them now.
Well,
they always want to supplement and backfill.
And you said that the value that they place on high picks,
mm-hmm.
this year, you said there was a clear team that you thought would be considered all in, just based on the metrics that the Ringer was using to determine all in-ness.
Well, I think there's one team that's not all in, that's Chicago, because of the picks that they have. So you certainly have that portion of it. And the other part is not salary cap money, it's money spent. So whenever the Packers give Jordan Love his deal, because we all assume he's going to sign some sort of extension in May when he's eligible to, because there's going to be guaranteed money up front in terms of a signing bonus that you give him, like, that would count against you, because that's money spent, because the salary cap can be massaged and you figure all that stuff out. It's all about money spent and how much money are you spending currently on that team.
So the only issue that I had with the metric when we were, again, trying to determine whether or not the Packers are all in this season based on a metric that the Ringer had put out a few seasons ago was it seemed to me that this was a curve, that they were grading on a curve, which means that, you know, you remember back to your school days, guys, when you were grading on a curve, somebody was getting an A mm-hmm. and somebody was getting an F, and it yep. was dependent on how mm-hmm. all of the scores stacked up once people took the test. So this metric that the Ringer was using, Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like they were saying somebody's got to be all in based mm-hmm. on the math that they were using, and somebody's got to be all out. And to me, that's not accurate of what each NFL season brings.
Really?
You think every year there's someone who's all in?
Yeah, there are teams that are more all in than others, certainly.
More
yeah.
all in, yes, but again, this is where this nebulous element of all in is coming into play. Like, when you think of all in, my brain immediately goes to what we had talked about with the Rams.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it was very obvious yeah. they had pushed all of their chips to the middle of the table because this was the year they were going to get, and to their credit, they did. But teams don't do that every year, do they?
They don't do it to that extent, but I have a hard time believing that the Niners, given their lack of draft capital and the way that they've used some of their picks to get, like, the Niners are a team that absolutely are in this all-in window.
But Gabe, the Rams were all-in because of trades, though, right?
A big part of it. And then, I mean, they gave up a bunch of money to those veterans. Like, when they traded for Jalen Ramsey, the first thing they did was give him a bunch of money. They trade for Matthew Stafford, give him a bunch of money.
Wasn't Von Miller there, too?
Yeah, I think he was more of a one-year rental.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I mean, they were spending money on those veteran players after they acquired
them. I think we conveniently remember all-ins based on team success. Like, the Miami Dolphins were all-in last year. They had to shed so many of their good players, and they were trading for players. Now, they suffered a ton of injuries and probably weren't good enough to be all-in. But that's a team that is now almost in a pseudo-rebuild because they weren't able to retain all the pieces they thought they needed.
Buffalo was kind of in that same situation yeah. where they go make the trade for Rasul Douglas. They're trying to make those moves, and we see now that they had to get rid of a bunch of their players.
Wasn't there a narrative, though, that the Packers were all in 2022? That this idea of Aaron Rodgers, the window was closing with him as the quarterback. And again, this is going to be the Goody versus Rodgers thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe they should have gone more all in because of who they had under center. But when you look at the index, again, we're going back to this Ringer article, since 2022 happened to be the year that they calculated, the Packers were 20th on the list according to the Ringer's all index. So this is where I'm saying, like, the whole point I'm trying to make here is we say all in, but we haven't figured out how to quantify all in. We think it's when you're taking draft capital and you're going out and you're spending in free agency and you're doing all these things to put together a formidable and dominant team. I think you can make the argument right now that the Packers feel like they're all in-ish. Right?
Well, again, it's the Packers version. Just like 2022 is the Packers version because they decided to run it back with all these guys and be pressed up against the salary cap. But the Packers can only be so all in because, again, you talk about the draft pick. They're not trading a first round pick to get a veteran to help them now. They're not trading a second round pick for a veteran to help them now. That's not the way this team operates.
They're in foreplay right now. That's where they're at.
Okay.
They're not quite there.
As I say, they're all in on their future.
Yeah,
they're always
all in on their future. But, that's the way the Packers operate.
Yeah, they weren't last year, though.
Gabe, weren't we talking about this offline and we were talking about marriage? Like, if you are in a relationship with someone and they tell you from the jump, hey, I'm never going to get married. Like, we can be in a committed relationship and I will give you and you'll be my person, all that, but I am never going to get married. You go into that knowing
yes.
what their limitations are.
100%.
Okay? Now, you can sit there and try to convince them over time, like, hey, change your mind on the marriage thing. No, I haven't. I still don't ever want to get married. That, to me, feels like what your perception of the Green Bay Packers is.
Oh, 100%.
This is as close to married as we are going to get.
Yeah.
So take it or leave it.
And it happens on occasion. Like, Goody will dive into free agency, spend some money, did it right away. Because, and he does this, he did it the first time because they had to supplement the roster. He's doing it this time, and I'm talking about the first time they signed Za'Darius Preston, Billy Turner, Adrian Amos, and he had to kind of get some of those bodies onto the roster because there were some, you know, lacking depth issues. And now he's seeing this young team that he's also supplementing with other young players, by the way. Like, these aren't those veterans that you're thinking of, like, well, Chewy mentioned Von Miller and the Rams. Like, these are still young guys that fit into what the Packers want to be, not just in 2024, but in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah, but he might have learned, though, from that. With just because I don't Adrian Amos is a guy, and I don't know who the other one you mentioned. He never followed up the Smiths with anybody else. Because the Smiths were pretty big splashes, right?
Yeah, so I mean, so were
so he may have learned from that, because if he just stops at McKinney and Jacobs, that's not enough. And I'm not saying you got to go out and get a guy this year, but next year you got to add again to it, because they're going to have the money.
Well, maybe. Maybe you won't, because the problem is now, Chu, is the money's going up for your quarterback starting next year.
No, I know.
So a lot of that money's going to be allocated to him. Maybe they try to go bargain hunting and get one of those other veteran safeties that are out there and get them on the cheap if there's nobody in the safety class that they like in the draft to pair next to Xavier McKinney. I fully do not expect the Packers to spend a bunch of money in free agency again next year.
So let me ask you this. Could a version of all in be what the Packers are doing, which is shedding these veterans who they know do not have a long shelf life in Green Bay, filling the roster with young players who you know will have, again, barring injury or barring incident, will have an incident, I mean, you know, sort of like a Devondre Campbell type of incident, right? Where like all of a sudden there's a malcontent happening. Could that be a version of all in? Could it be a version of young, experience to the point where that unit is growing together? And then if you've hit on the majority of, maybe not all, but the majority of your acquisitions, you're in a prime position to win the whole dang thing.
Yeah, but it's not just about 1 year. They want to give themselves as many opportunities to win as many times as they can.
I like Joshy's thing, all in on their future. Now, that's not to say they couldn't be ahead of schedule this season, but all in on their future does feel a lot like what we're seeing from the Green Bay Packers right now.
But they have 3 years, and that's it. They have 3 years.
Why do you say it's
only
3 years?
Well, they really have 2 years. Because next year, let's say Watson plays out his butt, got to pay him. 3 years from now, you got to pay Jaden Reed. You got to pay Musgrave. You got to pay Kraft. You got to pay Dobbs. You can't pay them all.
Correct.
Those guys are going to go away.
Yep.
You know, that's why the timing is. You got 3 years where you got those receivers and tight ends on the cheap. And then you can spend money or do whatever. And then the window starts. I think San Francisco's kind of in that right now. You know, they had to pay Kittle. Now you got to pay Ayuk. Is he coming back? I don't know. You got Debo, had to pay him. You're paying McCaffrey. Now they have the luxury because they don't have to pay a quarterback yet. But as soon as they have to pay Purdy, if they decide to, their window's shut. Shut.
And I think what we're landing on here is that there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
There's not just one blueprint for winning a Super Bowl. It feels like they have taken a concerted effort to go young as wherever they can and supplement with veteran presence or guys that they have had for a while who are now veterans in certain spots. But I still think that this year, even with the additions of some of these, now McKinney's young, Jacobs is young, they haven't nearly added anybody older, right?
No.
They lost Bakhtiari.
Yep.
So did the roster get younger? Or are we still at around that 24-ish age for the...
My guess is it's probably going to be about the same, maybe a little bit older, because everybody that was on the team is now a year older as well.
That's how that works?
Yeah, turns out. 365 days
just,
around the
you know
sun.
What? You know what? You jag bags, just wait till that draft class comes in. You know what that's going to do for your mean? You know what that's going to do for your average? You want to talk math? I'll play the game. You jerks. That's how that works? You get older every time the sun and the earth? And you guys are...
It's round earth, too. It's not a flat one.
Is it? I don't know. Heard some things. If you are a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate, the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Book special hotel packages with room rates starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed,
but
I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I think more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
About my friends over at Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha. Over the years, we have had the great crew over there, Mike and Michelle, and all of their fantastic employees help us out of some jams around the house. And if you are in that situation, or maybe you have a remodeling project or a home addition, or you're thinking about building a new home, the PCI team is here for you. Mike and Michelle believe in building relationships, and they do exceptional work on your projects. They're also growing and hiring carpenters to lead field crews. So if that's you or someone you know, check out their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com. That's where you can learn more about PCI, see some of the work they have done, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. So this is one of those developing stories that we don't really have a consensus on yet. We don't exactly know how it is going to shake out, but it is fascinating when you talk about the world of NIL and college football and where some of the money goes and if the money has to go back to the people who have given it and all those types of minutia things that never got ironed out when they should have, when this sucker took flight. So there's a young man who is a football player. He is from Iowa, who went to Alabama. When Nick Saban retired, he decided to transfer, jumped into the transfer portal, went back to Iowa. Now he's at Iowa, right? He's from that area. He went back there. It felt like home, all of those things. When he did that, there was an Iowa collective. You're familiar with the collectives. They're this group of people independent of the university, independent of the program, who collect money and then can give it to players as a form of incentive, whether they want to admit it or not, so that they will join certain programs, their program of choice. So they gave this kid, and you said, Gabe, he's an offensive lineman, right?
Offensive lineman, correct. Five-star offensive lineman.
They gave him $100,000, the collective. Which we have, this is not unusual. This is where we are now. All of the universities have collectives as a way of, again, getting money to put in these athletes' pockets. Problem is, in this most recent example, he's going back to Alabama. He just decided he's going back to Alabama. He's leaving Iowa and going back to the Crimson Tide. He will be under Kalen DeBoer now as he is the new head coach there. What happens to that money? Where does it go? Does he give it back? Does he get to keep it? This feels like a loophole, Gabe, that needed to be closed, and I'm not sure it has been.
Well, no, it's. I mean, it's not going to be closed. That money's his.
That
money's his,
so?
Man. You give it to him. Like, I don't. My guess isn't. It's like, oh, you get this money if you play X amount of games for the University of Iowa. It's just no. You attend Iowa, you get the money. He's going. He's going back down to Tuscaloosa, six figures richer.
Really? Sure there's not going to be a call of Rocco or something like that? Or
do they have Roccos in Iowa?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's Roccos everywhere.
Sure they got, yeah. Yeah.
especially when there's a Division I football team. I'm sure there's a Rocco on every corner. So this to me, Chu, it feels like, and again, I'm not trying to throw collectives under the bus, but I do think this is another example of you didn't dot all of the I's and cross all of the T's when you shoved this thing out into the world. And here we have an example of a guy who collected, like you said, a six-figure deal from the collective, and it was to incentivize him, or reward him, rather, for going to Iowa. And now he's not going to Iowa. So what is the recourse that these collectives have? Do you take him to court? Is it in the fine print that you're expected to then perform the duties? It's like any time you do an event, Gabe, you probably have to invoice them. And it's for duties related to, but not exclusive. It doesn't matter. The point is, you try to cover all your bases by saying, it's not just this, it's anything related to this thing. This is what I'm being paid for. Does he have a contract like that? Like, there feels like there's a lot of gray area in these situations. And I don't think that this is going to be the last of these.
But I mean, for these collectives, what are the duties that they're performing? What duty do you have to perform for the collective? Now, if he, because I think he had one social media post for a local car dealership. So if somebody from, you know, a university around here wanted to partner with Ewald, I'm sure Ewald Automotive would have, hey, here's what you have to do in order to fulfill this contract for you to get paid this money. Make this appearance, make this social media post, et cetera, et cetera. But for the collective, like, what duty are you performing? Because you're not promoting for the collective. Like, nobody cares if, you know, oh, I'm here to promote the collective. No, that's not a thing that happens. So
you don't think it's tied into the scholarship, Gabe, where you say, all right,
it can't
we'll give be. You 100 grand.
It can't be, Chu, because the collective is completely different from the university. Because it has to be completely different from the university.
Well, let's say it happened. How does a university or a collective protect themselves now?
Again, it's about the language you put in whatever deal that you come to for this guy. But if it's just, hey, we'll give you $100,000 if you come here, and so he shows up and leaves.
So the NIL is not a deal between the player and the university. It's a contract between whoever's giving them the money, the endorser,
correct,
and the endorsee.
But correct, a lot of universities have recognized that there is a need for staffing, and they have hired people who are exclusively responsible for managing NIL deals, which means that they find partners in the local community who want to attach their name to these athletes, and then they basically are the liaison between the companies, or the partners, and the players. So that is a new thing as well. Over the last few years, you are seeing programs that have added staff specifically to address NIL. So it does seem like every single one is different. It just depends on how this collective protected itself against something like this happening. But NIL is supposed to be quid pro quo. It is supposed to be your name, image, and likeness, and you are giving us something in exchange for the money that we are giving you. And I believe the expectation is that you are wearing the uniform of the team that is most closely affiliated with that business, right? Like, I can't get NIL money. If I'm at Marquette, I can't get NIL money and then still expect to get NIL money from, give me a company. Give me a something that's out there. I'm trying to look. Good Karma Brands. Let's just throw it out there. Good Karma Brands wants to get in the NIL game, and they want to sponsor Tyler Kolek. Tyler Kolek transfers back to George Mason. Does Good Karma Brands still owe him the NIL money, or was that contingent on his relationship with Marquette University? My guess is the latter.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a business and you're doing that, then in order to get paid, you're not just paying Tyler just to pay Tyler, right? Like, I know he's done some things in the where he's done some internet advertising. He's done some things like that. I've seen different Marquette players' faces on different, bars along, MLK and Water Street and things like that. So that's what you're getting paid for, is my face on this poster promoting your Ring
Wednesday.
But
as a member of Marquette University, they have to put that in there.
Well, because they can't use the Marquette University logo. Like, you're just working with that individual, and once, hey, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to put your face on this poster, okay, now the deal's done. Like, if that person then gets injured or transfers out or whatever, like, as long as he's fulfilled that contract, you still owe him that money.
Who am I supposed to be shedding tears here for?
The
collective,
I guess. Yeah.
No. I don't think you have to shed tears for anybody, to be perfectly honest with you, Josh. I understand your point. It's just another example of you push this thing to production and you didn't see all of the issues. And again, this is the NCAA. The NCAA is the one that allowed all this stuff to go state by state, as opposed to having it all under one umbrella, having parameters in place, having guidelines in place. And this is just the latest example of, you guys really bungled this thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's on you and your collective. You guys figure it out. I don't give a damn what the NCAA is doing. You do it. You have your local governments there that can put in rules. Like, the kid got you. Whoops. You learned.
Draw up a better contract.
Right. Who, if you have $300,000 or $100,000 to give away for a kid, I think you got too much money then. figure it out. Be better. Yeah.
And with that being said, I just see that ESPN paid college football playoffs $7.8 billion.
Yep.
So Joshy's like, you got all that money. Why don't you hire yourself a contract attorney and figure it out? Right? Put a portion of it towards that.
Give it in payments. Like, have a system where you have to be here for this amount of time to receive all the money.
So I did reach out to Pete Thamel this morning when we were talking about this potential conversation. And I said, how does this work? What is your understanding of how this money works? Does he have to return it? Do they have any legal recourse? And he said, there's no uniform contract for NIL. There's no uniform contract for collectives. It is up to each individual collective to protect itself against this sort of thing. Basically, again, case by case.
Well, and the other thing that's gotten folded into this is the ability to transfer as many times as you like, which is open right now because of other ongoing court cases across the country. So typically, if somebody transfers in, well, now, okay, you transferred the one time, now you can't transfer again. Now it's just open season, so this can happen because, again, everything at the NCAA level is just a big mess.
Anyway, a little chuckle this morning as we were reading the article that was in The Athletic about this young man who now is going back to Alabama, who I guess is now $100,000 richer thanks to an Iowa collective. And again, don't feel sorry for anybody. I think you're right, Joshy. We're not sitting here, you know, shedding tears over the collective or the player, but it's like, what's it going to take, guys? What's it going to take for legislation? What's it going to take for you all to agree? Do the collectives need to keep getting screwed over? And I screwed over, I use that term loosely.
Right.
But is that what it's going to take for them to be like, we can't do this anymore. We cannot be living in the lawless, wild, wild west anymore.
My issue here isn't with anyone in the room, anyone speaking, or Pete Thamel, or anyone for that matter. My issue is with the people who have taken it upon themselves in the media to stand up and say, there is an issue here with all these rich people giving away too much money. If you're doing that bidding, I think less of you, and I think you are wasting your time on things that aren't worthy of it. The program had been, for many years, flipped the wrong direction. These kids were being taken advantage of, and it wasn't as loud as it is now for these kids should be getting paid for all these kids that are now taking money from the rich people. It's a perversion of the correct way to go about all of this, and if you're doing the bidding for the billionaires and the rich people, I don't care for it.
Well, again, it's an easy fix. It's you put it in the language and protect yourself. Like, Chewy, I'm sure you've done a deal that's worth over six figures before with all these different robots you seem to want to invest in. I'm sure I'm sure there's language in there to kind of protect your investments.
Yeah, of course. But the whole problem of this is the universities don't want these athletes to be employees of the university. And that's why they're like, oh, you're an independent contractor. We have nothing to do with you. Back the $7.8 million up, you know? That's the issue. I am from the thing. If this happened to the donors and they weren't protected contractually, then it's on you, you morons.
Yeah.
Drop a better contract.
Man, a lot of names being thrown around this morning.
Well, presumably,
jag bag and moron.
Presumably, if you have that much money to contribute to a collective, you've done some good business before. Is this any different?
Do we know for sure that this is what happened?
No, we don't. No? That's what I'm saying.
We don't
know exactly. We don't have the specifics of this deal. But the reality is that without those contingencies in place, it does feel like another loophole that can be taken advantage of with the Wild Wild West NIL.
Didn't Quinn Ewers do the same exact thing?
Pretty much.
He went to Ohio State
for a year.
He went there, but he knew he wasn't going to play and then said, guess what?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. I mean,
his coach would probably be a good source.
I could text him. You want me to text Ryan and see? When Quinn, you guys, I told you this story before. I was with Ryan Day when Quinn Ewers called him and said he was coming to Ohio State. I was there doing the feature on Coach Day's father dying by suicide. It was the exact same day, talk about like your worlds colliding, that Rogers did his whole lengthy press conference where he said the thing that Joshy always brings back about free agents coming, because I was in the tennis center with him and they had it on the giant jumbotron or giant billboard, Rogers giving his press conference. God, it's interesting how all of that sort of came together
all in the same
literally
spot,
in the spot when all of those things happened. All right, Gabe, what do you got?
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so it,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tickets on sale right now to see Giannis and his brother Thanasis on stage for Thanalysis Live. It's presented by Carbliss this Friday night in Milwaukee. Go to TALiveShow.com to get tickets before they sell out. Get ready to experience the Adetokunbo brothers like never before and spend an intimate night with Giannis Antetokounmpo on March 22nd at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Event Center. All ages welcome and families are encouraged. TALiveShow.com to access the limited tickets. That's TALiveShow.com to see Giannis and special guests for Analysis Live, presented by Carbliss, this Friday in Milwaukee. TALiveShow.com.
Not sure how many of you were aware, but there is Major League Baseball happening, I think, as we speak. It might still be on. Is the game
no,
on behind
done.
Me?
Oh, it's ended. Over.
Okay. It was at 6 o'clock this morning, right?
Earlier
than that? Earlier 5
than
o'clock?
That. 5 o'clock. 6 Eastern.
I saw a tweet
Central.
That said, baseball is so dumb, which reminded me of Gabe, because Gabe, big baseball fan, but you admit all the time that it is dumb. And today it was, they opened the season, and you got some big-time players, you got some big-time names, people that people might actually want to see. I don't know, Shohei Ohtani, for instance, playing at 5 a.m. on a Wednesday.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think this is one of those things where people just want to dunk on baseball. Look, I will fully admit, baseball is
dunkable.
But like this, you're not watching baseball anyway. The people that want to dunk on it probably aren't watching anyways. I guarantee they're not watching anyways.
But two California teams, let's see, 5 a.m. there, so they're playing at 3 a.m.? That's kind of dumb, Gabe.
Look, there's going to be 160 more games after they play today and tomorrow. I think we're going to be fine. We're still going to have opening day next Thursday. Everybody's going to be excited. It's going to be fine. Like, people want to dunk on it. I mean, and the NFL is going to Brazil on Friday nights, and Friday night used to be a very protected night for high school football. Nobody gives a rip, right? Like, nobody cares that the NFL is going to play on a Friday night. Like, either you want to watch it or you don't. I was watching some of it when I got up this morning, and again, it's one game out of 162. I don't think it's that big of a deal in order to grow your international fan base.
But it's opening day.
But it's not.
Okay.
It's not opening day.
Maybe. Yeah, but what if the NFL did this game? For a preseason game, yeah. What
Let's
if
the
just Chiefs
figure out what
were...
the first game of the season
yes.
is?
Not opening day.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the first game of the season.
This is one, it's just the first game of the season. Opening day is a mindset, Jen.
Just taking liberties with the language. I appreciate it. I am here for it. But, listen, have you gotten excited about baseball season yet? Are you excited? Are you there? Yesterday it was announced that Freddie Peralta is going to be the starter. I feel like we knew that.
Yeah.
I feel like there was really not a lot of other options there, but that was the big news yesterday out of the Brewers. Jackson Churio is another big story that you're hearing on the Brewers. Are you in that mindset now of we are a week away from actual baseball?
Yeah, and I'll be more excited as we get closer and closer to that date. This isn't the first time baseball has done this. They've done these Korean series, Japan series before where they start a week before the season, send a couple of teams over there. Chewy, I know the Red Sox went over there probably about 10, 15 years ago at this point. But, I mean, they've done a bunch of this stuff before. Like, I don't think it's really that big of a deal because, I mean, baseball's just so regional to begin with.
Is the value higher for it being a regular season game versus just an exhibition series over in South Korea? If we're talking about growing the game,
yeah.
Like, what added value does it provide to make these games count versus not count and kind of it be a showcase of the talent versus?
Yeah. I mean, you have two games over because, again, like now you know that you're going to see Shohei, especially with Shohei, playing anywhere in Asia, right? Like, because he's just so big with Korea, Japan, as big as baseball is there, knowing that you're going to have Shohei Ohtani for all nine innings.
Yeah, but
like, that's big.
This is a game that counts. If the NFL did this for a preseason game, they'd get roasted. Roasted. If they had a preseason game at 5 a.m.,
they would get
crushed.
Isn't that what you did?
No, we played at a time where it was on at a reasonable time in the States. We played at a very, I want to say it was like 10 in the morning or something. I don't know. It was very
strange.
What time
did you play local time?
It's a good point. But there isn't an that's hold enough, on
you know what? That's
there
on
is a line there
that question should have known that he was not going to know the answer to that. That's on us. We shouldn't have done that.
All right, there's a line over there, the international date line or what
you
is
have
it?
No Talk. Idea where the international date line is.
It's over by Japan.
It's somewhere over there.
Yeah.
COVID.
Over there just basically refers to the other hemisphere at yeah. this point. Like, we got this side, and then we got over there.
Yeah, little hand.
But horseshoes and hand grenades. It's close. You go back in time. I don't know. It's something weird. 24 hours. I don't know. No one knows.
There's a DeLorean involved. Who can really say? Yeah, it's look, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Yes, again, the NFL is doing all these international games, too, and they're playing super early in the morning here. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, I'll get up early and watch the NFL because we're all addicted to football. Again, yeah. People want to make fun of baseball just because they want to make fun of baseball. They're not actually watching the game.
What are the projections that you are seeing for the NL Central this season? Are you seeing the Brewers being one of the top teams right now? Again, early projections. But I will say this. They figured out the math pretty well. They figured out the algorithm pretty well. They're very rarely off. Like, occasionally they will be, you know, we're a team, they project it to win, you know, 80 games and then they win 50. I don't know. But like, are you seeing?
Their over under in Vegas is like 76.5. I mean, I think most projections have them in third in the division, that the Cubs are going to win the division. That's a lot of the projections right now.
No playoff.
Well, it'd be tough with 76 wins.
Yeah. That's why I'm struggling to get into it, because the Red Sox are going to suck, who are my team, and the Brewers are going to be...
I think the Brewers are going to be better than those projections. I really do.
The Brewers consistently do overperform those. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like, you know, they're winning 100 games, yeah. But it's usually they're in better spot. They're in a division that kind of is all in the middle there, so they do typically outperform their number.
It always feels like every year it's an easy pick to put the Cardinals up there as one of the top two teams in the division. Sometimes the Brewers are competing for one of those top spots as well. The list that I'm looking at right now is on sportsnot.com. I was looking for like a Fox Sports or even an ESPN projection. I couldn't find it right away, but they have the Brewers in fourth right now. They are predicting the Brewers to finish fourth in the division with 78 wins. Now, again, the Cubs made a lot of moves in this offseason. The Cubs have been making moves, and so it does feel like they have put a lot of pieces in place to try to make it happen. But the Cardinals, I never count the Cardinals out. I just don't.
They stink. They're a bad baseball team.
Cardinals are a bad baseball
team?
Yeah,
they were terrible last year.
Yeah.
Awful.
Should have counted them out last year, it sounds like.
Awful. Yeah. And they haven't really improved that much. The Brewers will be better than the Cardinals. I feel very confident about that.
Put it on the poll, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will the Brewers be better than the Cardinals in 2024? We'll go ahead and have folks weigh in on that. Got to take a break here on the show, wrap things up right after this. But let me tell you guys about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. They're not good Midwest Bank, Jen. They're Great Midwest Bank. It is almost baseball season, as we were just discussing. I know some of you folks, it is also house hunting season. Yeah, the weather gets a little warmer. Find yourself wandering around neighborhoods and thinking, ooh, I wonder if that's a house that we could find ourselves in. Great Midwest Bank is ready to get you to home base with their easy home mortgage loan process. Apply online as little as 20 minutes. You'll be able to submit the bulk of your loan documents through the online safe portal. Don't worry, you will always have a real person to talk to if you want to. Great Midwest Bank's local loan officers are just a call or a visit away. If it's time to find your new home, you'll have home field advantage when you work with your community bank, Great Midwest Bank. Great Midwest Bank is your and my simply local equal housing lender. You can find more information on their website at greatmidwestbank.com to get started on a home mortgage loan.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow we will debut the Everyday Grievances bracket here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe gave you a good preview of some of the everyday grievances that we compiled and put them into bracket form. Remind me one more time. We got the bathroom region. We got the road region.
Dining region and just kind of...
Public.
Yeah, public,
general,
social. Yeah.
Speakerphone on there anywhere?
Gotta wait and see.
Speakerphone is a big grievance of mine. Walking through the Home Goods, lady's talking to her bestie on speakerphone. I don't care. I have started to think about grabbing the headphones when I'm on an airplane and they offer you the complimentary headphones and just stashing them away and then giving them to people when they're on speakerphone in public. Hey, this is for you. And then just walk away.
No? They're not going to stop.
Might. No. All right, so that will be debuted tomorrow, and it will be your chance to lock up one of the teams in our bracket. Will the Intosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a good one, everybody.